So here we go. We're going to start tonight. This is the 30th day of September 2020. And this is going to be study 62 in what we have named wisdom. And to understand that when God speaks, He gives us things that we need to see maybe more clearly, because all things weren't given to all people at one time. So, you know, we have this situation of looking at history through the Old Testament books, but when we get into the New Testament, we realize it surely is true for today. We're going to start tonight again where we left off last week, but we're going to start in verse 13 of chapter 1 of Philippians. And I use a companion Bible, and that's on page 1774. And I'll be giving you some numbers as we go along, because that's what I use to study why, and that's where I got my... This is where I've got these things marked out, look back and to see. And in doing this, we started here, and from chapter 1, verse 3 through verse 26 in this first chapter is Paul's concerns for the Philippians. He was truly intrigued with those individuals, and should be. Evidently, we see the point that they had, the ways and the means to keep Paul in his own hired house before he went to trial when he was in Italy, in Rome. And so he's writing back to him here in 61, 62, maybe somewhere in those 2 years. And he's sending these letters back. But he now understands mystery truth. He understands the ongoing things that maybe people don't look at very much. And I think in a normal situation, or in different denominations, people just don't care to understand this, because they think in their mind that they know all the plan and purpose of God that He had in His Son. And the basic principle was, yes, He did come as a kinsman redeemer. He did give His life's blood, and He gave His life for us. He took the sin that we had and took it upon Himself, because He was sinless. And if you're sinless, you cannot die, because if you're sinless, death has no hold on you. But the fact is that not only did Christ die for our sins, but that He arose again. And during that time, He went to the Father with His blood that He had left. And He went to the Father with the body that He had been given. And God took care of the body. But nevertheless, when He came back out of the grave, it looked as if He had the same body. And that's not hard to do if you're the owner and the manufacturer of this planet and this place that we live and call Earth. That's not a problem at all. So it was meant that when Christ was here for the 40 days that He was on this earth, teaching these people what they should know and what they should do immediately after he returned back to heaven, that they would know who he was and not have any questions about what had happened. But the fact was, they didn't say that much about what happened when Christ took his blood before the Holy of Holies in heaven and his body was taken care of, because flesh and blood cannot inherit anything concerning the kingdom of God. So that had to be done away with. So he came back, and when he came back, although he had a body that man could see, he had a body that man could know, but the head was Christ without all of his body. And so therefore, we find out here in Ephesians and then on into Philippians about this body and what it means and how it works and how you can be involved in it. And don't plan to go down to the local Baptist church or any Methodist church or any other church and hear this, because generally speaking, it's not going to happen. Now, it does happen occasionally, but not often. And maybe just in a few words. Because if you read the scriptures, if you read what Paul written after Acts 28:28, then you're going to see it, but may not understand it. And so it behooves us all to get together, talk about this. So here we go. I'm going to read, like I've been reading, I'm going to read the King James Version first. I'm going to read my notes second. And I'm going to read what come out of the Koine Greek that Jack put in his Workman's Interlinear. What comes off of that, and then what Jack wrote about it, and give you the scripture that Jack wanted us to see in each verse. And I feel like that is the best and the most important way that we'll get to know what we have for us as an inheritance.
Amen.
Because we went from being someone that was grafted in to the tame olive tree. We were the wild olive branch that was going to be brought into that. And now, when Israel was set aside, so the olive tree was set aside. So what is our hope now? What is your hope? Is it something promised to the Jews, or was it something promised to you and me? And so this is what we're talking about. It's what we're going to be talking about until I'm like Mr. Jack, that I'm not here anymore, probably. So let's look at it. Verse 13 of chapter 1, it says this, so that my body, no, doesn't say so that my body, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all the other places. Because we talked last week about his wish for you to understand by experience or effort the events that concern me and the work that he was doing for the advancement of the good news of the gospel. And so he said, so that my bonds, you know what a bond is? It's a chain. It's a shackle. And so Paul's bonds was not for a crime. It wasn't for a crime that he committed against mankind. The reason that he's in chain is for his relationship to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And solely for preaching his gospel or good news. And there's a little more to it. And is known in the palace because he's chained to a palace guard. Everything that he does that day, that guard, he unshackles himself from Paul and puts the other guy in the shackle. And so this one that was in the palace that day could go to all the other places and tell what was going on in Paul's house. Yeah, Paul was in bonds, but the word of God wasn't bound. It was going out that door lickety-split. Mm-hmm. Okay. You got the picture here. There's no problem with that. Let's go back. Well, let's look at what it says in the Koine Greek. Brought down. It says, so as the bonds, my manifest in Christ to have become in whole the Praetorian and the rest all. That's the way that verse is written in the Koine Greek. And if you look at today's version of that, it says, so as my bonds in Christ have become manifest in the whole Praetorian and to all the rest. So, the Praetorian there was the palace guard. It was those that made up the court of, was it Nero at the time?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Because he had appealed, or Caesar.
Caesar, yeah.
He had appealed to Caesar to hear his case. He wanted to get out from under these troubles that was plaguing him down through the years. People were after him for no reason at all other than to shut his mouth about this one called Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. Okay. So now we understand that the bonds referred to the coupling chain which bound him to a member of the Praetorian Guard. That's what they were called. This was an elite centurion corps under special orders and training for their service to the emperor. So what, that was exactly what they were there for. I don't think they were worried that Paul was going to get away from them. What they were worried about was what he was saying or what was being said that caused them problems or trouble. Generally, Paul would be chained to one of them throughout. Let's turn the page and see what it says here. Throughout his whole tenure as prisoner, various guards would trade off in a regular schedule. Through this, the word became known to all the guards, and by the extensions through the whole area the guards covered. Did any one of them embrace the truth? Jack asked. It is not known, definitely. But someone let the word be known to all of the rest. Could it be that the word became a regular topic of conversation for those in this encampment? So if you're hearing something that is new or something that is different, or something that you did not know that was being put forth as truth and understanding, would it raise an eyebrow or not? Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. Let's look back to Ephesians for a minute. Look back to Ephesians 6. Just turn back a couple of pages. We're going to look at 6:20 of Ephesians. We're getting close to the end of Ephesians right here. It's 6:20 and see what it says. So Paul has already told us that he was going to open his mouth boldly and he was going to speak. He was going to make known the mystery of the gospel. He says in verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds or in chains, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Okay, let's go back to Acts 28:20. So keep your finger in Philippians 1 and go back to Acts 28:20. And you see, Paul had been in jail for a while. And he says in 18, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. And it was like you and I appealing to the Supreme Court. That's basically what it amounts to. Because if we're a member of the United States, we have the right to appeal to the Supreme Court. Now, I don't mean that you'll get a hearing and just say you have a right to appeal. I'm sorry, but that's the way it works. Mm-hmm. Verse 20. This is what we want to look at. 28:20. For this cause, therefore, or because of this, I have called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with his chain. So you see, freedom always comes with a price. And truth always comes with a price. Because a lot of times when you don't hear the truth, it can be disastrous and it can be costly. Because God deals in truth and righteousness. Truth is what is truth. Truth is no lie. And righteousness means it's the way that God wants it to work. That truth, the way that God wants it to work. That was his son. That was the son of God in his essence. It was God's word in truth making righteousness work. Everything was right that God did. And so that was the situation of getting into this study of wisdom. If you don't have truth, you don't have a base. And if it's not what God wants, it's not going to work out. He may allow it to work for a long time, but sooner or later, it's not going to work out. Let's go to 14. So it says, and many of the brethren in the King James Version, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds or my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So Paul says, look, you can look at me and look at my chain and my relationship to Christ Jesus and what I preach and what I say, and you see it going to other places, even in the palace, even before the man that's going to judge me, he's hearing all this stuff too. And Paul says, look, the majority of the brethren there have become confident, or some of them have anyway. Some believed and some didn't. That's the way the Jews were. But they, some of them have become confident by my bond or my chain. And they have overcame their fear to speak the gospel or the good news. And so this was what Paul was wanting the Philippians to see, that because of what's happened to me, people are getting bolder to speak what God wants them to know, the good news. So let's look at 14 out of the Greek, and it says this, and the most of the brethren, in Lord trusting, by the bonds, my more abundant, dare fearlessly the word to speak. That's in the common Koine Greek. And it says this, most of the brethren in the Lord, trusting in my bonds, more abundantly, dare fearlessly to speak the word. That's pretty much how we see it today. You see, so there's different versions of scripture, and this is how we arrive at what we know and understand by looking at the differences of things, and because we've been told in Philippians to test those things that differ. You remember a week or a couple of studies back?
Yep.
We're told to study the things that differ, because they may differ a little bit in understandings in the way that works. Well, let's look at what Jack says. Jack says, when it seemed how boldly Paul speaks the word unto his captors, many of the brethren also begin speaking of Christ. Paul is admired for his fearlessness. They're chained to his guard. He does not quaver to speak forthrightly the truth, which is for all men to hear. Man, it's hard to think. There were some not so among the enemy who trusted Christ as Savior and Head. At any rate, the saints began to speak the word bravely, following Paul's example. And so he gives us three or four places to look at this here. Jack does. We need to look at Ephesians 3:9. See, we need to go back and get involved with what he has said in Ephesians, because Ephesians was the groundwork for many of the other studies that we're going to do. You can't get around it. Because it says, well, I can't do 9 without doing 8. I'm sorry. Unto me, Paul says, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Why? And why would he feel like he was less than the least? He had been chosen by the person that runs the universe to do this and to give this message out. If you had been given this chore by the creator of the universe, why would you call yourself less than the least? He didn't feel worthy. And how often, if we were given some great duty to do that God meant for it to go from that one individual on. Now think about this for a minute. He didn't give it to nobody else. He gave it to Paul, and if it was going to get spread out, Paul was the one going to spread it out, but here he is chained to a man. Think about that. Well, Paul says, until I get away from this chain, I am kind of the least, less than the least. because I don't have the freedom to go about and do what I've been doing. But let's look at verse 9 that Jack pointed out here. Verse 9 says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery truth."
A very poorly translated verse.
Huh?
It's a very poor translation of that verse.
"Which from the beginning of the world, or ages past, hath been hid in God, who created all things by his Son, Jesus Christ." When he told the Son to create something, the Son went out and got it done. Okay. When he told Paul, "Listen, I'm going to give you this mystery truth. I'll give you a way to get it done." Well, it's been nearly 2,000 years, but we're still trying to get it done. Because when Christ's body gets filled, when it becomes pleroma, when it becomes full, when there's no more to be put in, he's going to show up in the east. And after that, I don't know how long after that, then he's going to come back. And he's going to have a full body again this time. But it's not going to be like the body that he had before. Because it's going to be with many, many, many of the heavenly bodies that didn't leave their estate, and also the saints of God that have died understanding this truth concerning the body of Christ, concerning the things that we may or that we may not know individually or even collectively. But to be in that body means that you're going to rule and reign with Christ over the things that Christ has been given to be in charge of. How many other places do you think in this universe or this place that we call space out there somewhere that they say there's a black hole and we don't really know how to get through it and all this kind of jazz? How many other places does God have projects going on? He could have projects going on everywhere. And who's going to be over those projects? Well, his Son has had a big hand in this earth ever since he created it. Well, if he created something somewhere else, what is he doing with it? If there's needs, which they probably will be, for some reason or other, we'll be involved. That's understandable. And that's what we're looking at here. Okay. We looked at Ephesians 3:9 in 14. Let's look at verse 12. Talking about who created all things in Jesus Christ, in whom now we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. That's Ephesians 3:12. We went over that not long ago. Okay, let's go back to Galatians. Go back before Ephesians to Galatians 5. And I think I pretty much got my markings marked out pretty good tonight. 5:10. And it's the last verse on this page. If you have a companion Bible, it's 1756. And Paul says, "I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded but to have the mind of Paul. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be." So, if you're hindering the work of the Lord, then you better look out, because there's going to be some judgment there. Okay. So that was Galatians. That was in the day of the law. So the law was going to get you there. And we're going to go back and we're going to look at Matthew 28:18. So we're going to go way back to Matthew 28. I got it. And that's on page 1380, if you have a companion Bible. And he says in verse 18 of Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spoke unto them. This was after his resurrection, and he was the events that happened in the city. Okay. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Well, what else did they know other than heaven and the earth? Now, okay. Let's look at another one. Let's look at Hebrews 4:6. So we're going to go the other way from Philippians. We're going to go to Hebrews 4. And we're going to look at, what did that say? Verse 16. I may have said 6. But it's 16. And it is on page 1829. In the companion Bible. And it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That we may come boldly. 16, draw near with boldness in the grace to ask God for help in time of need. I call it a 911 prayer. When I look at something going on and I know I can't do much with it, but I know that God can, then I call it a 911 prayer, because that's what 911 stands for, basically. I don't know the people that come up with that, but I've been in fire service for 50 years, and I know that it works. And you can't go wrong to ask God for help. Proverbs 18:1, and then we'll move to the next verse. Way back, Proverbs 18:1. Let's see, where are we at here? I didn't go far enough. I've got so many bookmarks in my Bible, but a lot of times they're needed further on in the study. So if I take them out now, I just have to put them back. Proverbs 18. Okay. Let me get there. I'm almost. Here we go. Proverbs 18:1. It says, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Wow. So break that down a little bit. It says, through desire, through desires or seeking his own pleasure. The recluse or the separatist breaks forth or quarreleth with everything that is stable. You know anybody like that? Argueth with everything that is stable. Intermediateth breaketh forth. He's talking about here when he looks at all wisdom, everything that is stable, and he just can't take in his mind. He don't have the wisdom to understand what is stable and what is not. And there are a lot of things in this old world here and today that can make you unstable. And it can be alcohol. It can be drugs. It can be many different things that gets one in a different state of understanding other than what God meant for our understanding to be. So that's what we're looking at here in verse 14, where it says, many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident in my bonds, much more boldly to speak the words without fear. Verse 15. King James Version. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. So Paul says there's certain ones out there that preach or speak of, and the word there is carousos. They speak of Christ even of envy and strife. They're not going to believe him. And that's the ones that aren't saved. They do not know, cannot comprehend the word of God because they don't have that basic wisdom principle that is needed to understand the word of God. And you can't learn it in a college. You can't learn it unless you learn it from someone that uses it and knows it. And it says, and some certain ones of God will, in belief, understand. So, there's two different groups that are out there preaching Christ. And a lot of times in this day and age, it's for money. But let's look at the Greek, Koine Greek, bringing down of that. It says, some indeed, even through envy and strife. Some, but also through goodwill, the Christ are proclaiming. So in today's vernacular, says some indeed, even though envy and strife, are preaching Christ, but also through goodwill. Okay, now this is Jack's rendering of this verse of Scripture. Since we are still in this world, they are envies and strifes. They are those who will compete in a fleshly manner. They are even those who will practice unscriptural vices to advance their own cause. Such has been the case and will continue to be. They are those who will also teach and preach the word with a good heart. So there are three places here that Jack asked us to look at. Let's go back to Romans and look at Romans 8 and verse 7, because you know, I read Romans 8 a lot when I was a young man. And let's look at Romans 8, 7 and 8. That's on page 1677 if you have a companion Bible. And it says this, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And this is Romans written before the Acts period. And then verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And Paul says this in Romans verse 9, but we're not in the flesh, but we're in the Spirit. So be it that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So that's is the point that we need to continue to look to. That's the point that we need to continue to teach and preach, that it is the Spirit of God that dwells in man that wants him to seek knowledge, wants him to seek understanding, and wants him to get his mind straight with his heart. Because if you're going to preach truth and righteousness, your mind and heart has to be of one thing, and that's the love of Christ. Let's go to 16. The certain one that he talks about there, or one of them, the certain one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bonds. So, Christ says, well, the one that doesn't understand God and they don't understand his working or don't understand his commandments or don't understand his marching orders, he's in contention. And that's a Strong's number, contention there. Is the Strong's 2052 in the Greek, and the word is erethia, I think, and it means either intrigue or strife. So sometimes contention can be intrigue because they don't understand it. The other is strife because they don't want to understand it. And it's not singularly or of a pure motive, hagnos. And Paul says, supposing to, with the intention to add afflictions to my chain or to my bonds. He says, they think, you know, that they can put me further down because of what I'm speaking and preaching, because they don't understand what he's doing, what he's preaching or teaching. And there's a couple of places we need to look at here. But let's first look at 16 and see in the Koine what it says. Those indeed, out of love, knowing that unto defense of the good message, Paul says, I'm outstretched. I am being pulled. I am outstretched. Those indeed, out of love, he says, knowing that I am outstretched unto the defense of the good message. And Jack's entrance into this, it says the previous verse and this one are sides of the coin. It's just like you're looking at a corn, where one can Christ of envy and strife and one out of love. It's, you know, it's like heads and tails of a coin. Each is a verse of the other. While they are those who proclaim Christ of envy and strife in competition with another, they are those who preach Christ of goodwill. Apparently, they believe that the message is helpful to the people of the world. However, the last category is the category of true believers. Those or these preach Christ out of love. It is the desired motive from the heart of our head, and it should be from the heart also, and our head also. That's the way it's supposed to work. Now let's look at 1 John. Let's look at 1 John 3:3. If I can find them. Maybe I can't. 1 John. I didn't get far enough. 3:3. Okay. 1 John 3:3. Jack points us to this. And it says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." So every man that hath the love of God, he wants to be a better person, and he wants to teach others also to be a better person. So this is in doing that, it doesn't really add afflictions to Paul's chain there. Let's look at James 3. 14, and that's 3:14. Okay. I was in there on the right page to begin with. 3:14 says, "But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth." Let's read it again. "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts." This is contrary to the wisdom that God gives to you in your mind if you so desire to look for it. He says, "Glory not and lie not against the truth." Don't lie against the truth. How much time have I got left, Ron?
It's 9:26.
Oh, okay. Let's do one more, and we'll close. Because this is, it, when you go through all these scriptures, it's tough to get very far in your verses. In verse 17, let me get back to Philippians. Verse 17 says this: "But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." So that's what 17 says. And he's talking about the certain ones speaking love, knowing I am set or I am in place for the defense of the gospel for Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, if you go to the Koine Greek, 17 says this, these but out of strife the Christ are announcing, not purely, supposedly tribulation, to add to the bonds my. But the announcing of Christ out of strife, not purely, supposed to add tribulation to my bonds. That's the way it was looked at there. Now, Jack says this in 17. Those who were striving in their pronouncement of Christ were actually opposing Paul. Their animus may have been with one another as well, yet it is clear that Paul was actually the actual target of their so-called holy pronouncements. And so he says, see 1 Thessalonians 3:3. It ain't very far from where we are in Philippians. Do we get 3:3 in 1 Thessalonians? 17:90 is the page. 3:3 says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, talking about forbearing and being left alone, and he's sent Timothy somewhere, and he said that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourself know that we are appointed thereunto. So Paul says the places that we're sent, we're appointed unto them, and it is our duty to go there. And so let's go back to Romans 2, and we'll close our study for this day. But like I said, Romans 2:2, and all these things that we're looking at here is kind of needful for what we're doing. This, no, it was Romans 2:8. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to check my eyes. Romans 2:8. It says, or let's go to 7. It says, to them who by patience, continuance, in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. So, this was what Paul was contending with when he was writing these new revelations to these people concerning that had been hid in God for ages and aeons, and to realize that it is mistruth, it is lies, and it is things that God abhors, that men get involved with. That's the leadership of the prince and power of this air. Just think what it's going to be when he is subjected to the earth.
Yep.
For a little period of time. And people say, oh, I wish God would come and clean up this mess and get it straightened out. Well, I think sometimes you don't know what you're asking for, because there's going to be a lot of problems.
Because he's going to do exactly that.
He can clean it up, but it's not going to be a fun period, and it's not going to be a fun time. And, you know, we get involved with things that doesn't seem right to us. It kind of hurts your heart to see the things that are going on and how it affects people. And I look at this virus thing, but, you know, the world has been plagued all this time by things that come upon us that we don't, a lot of times we don't really know where it come from. We really don't know how we're going to get rid of it. But yet, it's still here. And we can go back and we can look at the words. We can look at some of the things there when they talk about pollution and stuff. Say, well, has this been here before? Well, it's very possible, because we've been told in Scripture that there's nothing new under the sun. But it's the fact of not knowing and the fact of not understanding, it places us in a situation that we get to want to think like man thinks instead of thinking like the Lord thinks. I'll just leave you with that. That's my little sermon for this night. So thank you very much, and continue to remember Jack and Mel and their family and all they're going through with, and the others too that has problems. And there are many out there. Believe you me, there are many out there. God bless.